Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock, hard rock, and heavy metal. A best-selling author, host of TV's That Metal Show, and seven national radio shows, including Trunk Nation, daily on Sirius XM.
Interesting.
Eddie offers the world his news-making interviews, passionate analysis, honest commentary, and who knows what else. So welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
It's Eddie Trunk, and it's time for another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, which is new every Thursday, Apple Podcasts, and of course, Podcast One. Thank you for subscribing, downloading, and listening each and every week, wherever you are in the world. It is greatly appreciated, and I'm all set for another Eddie Trunk Podcast to come your way, and of course, this one is posting the day after Christmas, so I hope everybody had a great, wonderful Christmas that celebrated yesterday. Or earlier in the week, depending upon when you're listening. But of course, I always talk about the podcast for if you're listening on post day, which of course are new episodes every single Thursday. And hope you had a great Christmas, and hope you have a very wonderful Happy New Year, because just a few days now left in the year 2019 as we close in on 2020. It's been a hell of a year. I mean, for me personally, it has been a tremendous year, maybe the busiest year of my life. So many incredible opportunities, an incredible amount of work, tremendous stuff going on, and really excited to see what 2020 brings. It's hard for me to believe that after being in this business since I was a kid, starting out back in 1983, that here we are heading into 2020, and I'll be entering my 37th year professionally in the music industry. All the things that I've done, whether it be radio, TV, writing, this podcast, I mean, it's really amazing, and I'm so grateful and so thankful for all the support. It's been a hell of a ride, and it is awesome to hear from all you guys and how I've connected with you over the, whether it be days, weeks, months, years, decades, whenever you've come on board and come into my world in some way and connected with what I do. Thank you so much. It really is a great time to reflect and look back. And as far as 2019 is concerned, a great year for me, another great year for my daily radio show on Sirius XM on Volume. As I tell you guys every week here on the podcast, the interviews you hear every week originate and happen on my daily rock talk show, which I am blessed to have on Sirius XM. In the U.S. or Canada, you guys all know what Sirius XM is, satellite radio, and I'm on every day on Channel 106, doing basically what I equate to as sports talk for rock fans. Nothing but calls and interviews and discussions about news and everything happening in the world of rock. And this is now 3 years and change in the books that I've been doing it, and it has been, I'm telling you, an absolute blast. I mean, I couldn't ask for a more dream job for me, for what I do, and to call on all my resources and everything that I've done throughout my career and utilize all that in what I do in a daily broadcast. And I'm lucky enough to be able to take one interview and bring that to you once a week here on this podcast. And as I tell you guys each and every week, if you're in the U.S. and Canada and you're not on board with my show on Sirius XM, you're getting a tiny fraction of what I do every day there. And I never tell people how to spend their money, but again, for a very small fee, you could be getting a ton of content if you become a subscriber. You don't even need a radio. You can just get the app if you want to. But it's been such a blast doing the volume show. And to those that do listen, 2 to 4 Eastern, 10 to midnight Eastern on volume, I greatly appreciate that. A big component of that show has also been my monthly visits to L.A. In the year 2019, I went to Los Angeles at least once every month of the year. And as many of you guys know, I live on the East Coast, so it's quite a haul. But I do enjoy doing it because it's so much fun. So many people live out in L.A. We've had some unbelievable guests, and we do these monthly specials from the Rainbow on the patio there at that legendary establishment. And those have been so much fun to do, including the most recent one a couple weeks ago, which was just a holiday party, which was just jammed with people and just an absolute blast. Now, a little heads up for those of you that listen here on the podcast. In the past, I used to listen, or used to be able to bring you the LA Invasion broadcasts. And I have not been able to do that. And that is the one thing that SiriusXM has asked me not to repurpose here on this podcast. The reason being is that they also now own Pandora, SiriusXM does. And there is apparently some podcasting going on that they do on my behalf on Pandora, and they post some of my content there. So that's sort of exclusive to them, but all the other stuff is fair game to post here. So you get a little taste of all different worlds. And the idea of me sharing all these interviews with you here on the podcast, if you're in the U.S. and Canada, is hopefully to inspire you to say, hey, I'm going to go on board and let me get SiriusXM and spend the $10 a month or whatever and get all this great content and hear me every day and be able to call in and interact with these artists. But the LA Invasions, as we call them, from the Rainbow, I am not able to any longer podcast them here. So you need to listen to those via on demand on the SiriusXM app, which means you need to be a subscriber, or you might be able to find them on Pandora somewhere in the podcast section of that service. I'm not exactly sure. But still, plenty of great interviews to bring you each and every week that don't happen in the monthly Rainbow stuff. And of course, last week was one of them, with Luke Spiller from The Struts. And this week we're going to get to Frank Hannon in just a few minutes. But just a couple things from this past year. The volume show has been phenomenal. The stuff that I've been doing in LA with the Rainbow stuff has been fantastic. The FM radio show, I do a weekly syndicated music show that's been going on now for 36 years, just tremendous doing those. Those are on demand. If you're a member of my website, they also air on like 30 radio stations in the country on FM radio, and that all streams for free. So it's great having that outlet. The only bummer of my year for 2019 was on the TV side. As many of you guys know, I was doing a TV show for Access TV called Trunk Fest, which was a travel show at music festivals. Put a lot of work into that, had a great time doing it, a great crew. Unfortunately, Access TV was sold, and a new company from Canada came in and purchased it. Initially, they reached out to me about talking to me, and then have just gone dark, and I haven't heard a word from anybody over there, and it doesn't look like that show is going to continue. But look, that stuff happens, and that's fine. Obviously, a change in ownership and changes going on there. But what is dumbfounding to me is that I did 17 episodes of that show, two seasons, and nobody's seen it. I mean, it is one of the most single-handedly most baffling things in my career is that Access TV has basically taken two seasons of a show that they paid for and produced and basically buried because there's no way you can see it. They played every episode maybe two times and buried it. Now, I understand if you don't want to do a show anymore, but I do not understand and will never understand why you wouldn't repurpose it, especially given if you've seen that channel, so much of the content is like 20-year-old concerts or interviews that have been out on DVD or old shows. It's not like you're knocking off some brand new programming. I mean, it is the single most head-scratching thing. So that was the bummer for me. Look, not that the show got discontinued or the channel was sold, that's out of my hands, But and not that this would mean any money or financially there's any issue. There's not. But when you put so much work into doing stuff, you'd like people to see it. And there's no online outlet. There's no app. There's no on-demand. And there's no repeat airings for reasons completely unknown. And some folks have asked me about it, so I figured I'd address it. And we'll see what happens in the new year if they come around or they start showing the shows again. It's their property to do it, but it's frustratingly out of my hands. And I'd like to just give people the opportunity to see what I did there because it was a lot of fun doing it, covering all these music festivals. So who knows? I really not quite sure what to tell you there, but some changes going on since that channel was indeed sold. Mark Cuban used to own Access TV, and he sold it to a Canadian company. So I don't know. We'll see what's up. I'll hear, what I hear when I hear it, if I hear it. In the meantime, I'm continually asked about that metal show, and hopefully in 2020 we can make some progress in bringing that show back and find a believer who will give us an outlet to do it. We may have found one. We may have found somebody interested in producing shows, still trying to figure out where we're going to distribute them and how, and see if we could find an outlet for them. So the That Metal Show situation is far from dead, thanks to you guys. And we will do our best to resurrect that if we find the right opportunity. And it's not over by any means. We'll see what 2020 brings. But thank you for your never-ending interest and questions about That Metal Show. So I'm excited about 2020. As soon as we get into this new year, I'm going to already be back on the road, back on the West Coast, more stuff from the Rainbow. The NAMM show, the biggest gathering of the music world, is about to happen in just a couple weeks. That's going to be awesome. I do some broadcasts from that. I host a metal award show from that. So just keep an eye on social media at Eddie Trunk, especially on Twitter, also on Instagram. Fan page on Facebook, and eddietrunk.com is the official online home. And the other thing that I do so much of is hosting so many events, so many concerts at every level. And I can't thank each and every promoter that hires me and treats me so well. And that's going to pick right up in the new year as well, because the Monsters of Rock Cruise is coming up, which I host every single year in February. And before that, I'll be hosting a Ronnie Montrose Remembered show at NAMM. I mentioned Hall of Heavy Metal History and just announced February 22nd back in my home away from home, Tulsa, at the IDL Ballroom to host an evening with Buck Cherry, which has just been announced. My good old buddies there, Buck Cherry. So a lot of stuff going on, and we'll get right back into it right after the end of this holiday season. So keep an eye on everything, and I'll keep you posted as we go. Hey, let me tell you about Pluto TV. It is the leading free streaming television service. I've been telling you about it. It's pretty awesome. You can watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand completely free. Pluto TV, they don't even ask you for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is the easy, completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies completely free. So what are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. You can download Pluto TV for free on all of your favorite devices today, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, and anywhere else you stream. So a very, very, very happy new year to everybody coming up. The final Eddie Trunk podcast of 2019 is here, and this week I'll be visiting with my old buddy Frank Hannon of Tesla. This is a pretty funny story. Now, I told you that the interviews that happen on this show originate on my SiriusXM show. So I got a note from Katie, who produces the podcast for me and puts this all together every week. And she got a note from Kristen at Podcast One asking if I would be interested in having Frank Hannon of Tesla on this podcast. And I said, I just had Frank on my radio show. And of course, the interviews on the radio show end up here on the podcast. Some of them at least do. So I said, tell Kristen that I'll podcast that interview. And this way, it's doing a daily talk radio show, it would be ridiculous and redundant to interview an artist two or three times for the different platforms over and over again. It wouldn't make sense. So I'm like, no, I got the Frank Hannon interview, and I'll put it up as my podcast. So that's what we have for you this week. Frank is always fun to talk to. He called in a few weeks ago. He himself has launched a podcast. He's into a lot of different things, also making solo music and, of course, continuing to tour with Tesla, a band that he co-founded. But Frank and I have been friends for a long time. I love Tesla, all the guys, great buddies, and we have some great times and looking forward to seeing them as they headline the upcoming Monsters of Rock cruise. That will be a blast, no doubt, as it always is. So Frank Hannon talking about all sorts of stuff, including his thoughts now in retrospect on the album that his band released, which was somewhat controversial in 2019, that album called Shock, produced by Phil Collin of Def Leppard. So we'll get into that and a lot of other stuff with Frank Hannon here in just a second. But again, just as we get ready to close out, since this is the last podcast of 2019, I can't thank you all enough for your support. I truly hope if you're in the U.S. and Canada, you join me each and every day on the Volume Show. And if not, thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for connecting with me, however you do it, following on social media. Much appreciated. And a big thanks sincerely to all of the promoters who hire me to host their shows and book me for appearances and speaking gigs and hosting gigs. It's great to travel the country, catch these shows, be well taken care of, meet all you great fans, and be able to be out there on the stages with so many of these artists that I know and have supported for decades, and intro them and visit these different venues at every level, whether it be the clubs, the theaters, the bigger venues, whatever the case may be, the festivals, the cruises. Thank you to all of those that I work with and that have me, and a very happy, healthy new year to everybody as this final podcast of 2019 is about to, well, we'll get into it with Frank, and then we'll wrap it up after we talk to Frank. So let's take a break, and we'll get to it next.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Hey, guys, have you checked out the official Lakers podcast yet? It's better than ever this season. Join host Mike Trudell and co-host Aaron Larsoul every Monday night as they discuss the Lakers news of the day, break down the games from the week, and have exclusive interviews from the players, coaches, and staff. This week, the Lakers take on the Clippers in a Christmas Day showdown. Be sure to tune in to the official Lakers podcast to get all the game highlights.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
It's Eddie Trunk and the Eddie Trunk Podcast. This week, my guest, as I mentioned, is Frank Hannon of Tesla. Enjoy. At one time, this guy was almost my co-host. He was on with me so much hanging out. It's always great to visit with Frank Hannon. What's going on, my brother?
Hey, Eddie. Man, a lot's going on. Thanks for having me on the show, man. Really appreciate you.
Anytime, anytime. So you got a new solo single here going, Southside, huh?
Yeah, man. And I've got the bug. I've got the bug. I think I caught it from you on the ship, this whole podcast talking and interviewing friends. And we'll get to that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to shift gears. But yeah, the single Southside is my latest song I just released. And a lot of people have been rocking with it, man. I'm glad that. Do you like it?
No, it's terrible, Frank. I think it's the worst piece of shit I ever heard.
I'm sorry, man. I've been juggling so much stuff, man. It's crazy. I've been on a creative like whirlwind of stuff, and Southside is my latest song that I got inspired to write when I came off the road with Tesla on this last break. I got in touch with some old friends that I haven't connected with in 40 years. I mean, these are the guys like long before Tesla or City Kid or even Earthshaker. Oh, by the way, Eddie, I watched the Y&T documentary last night. Jill sent it to me, and you and I are both on that.
Yeah, I narrate it, which was really a great honor. And I talked to Dave in it, and I got a copy of it as well. And I saw you. I only watched the first half hour because I got late and I had to do some other stuff. But I plan on finishing it off over the long weekend. But, I, you know, you and I mean, we both love that band. So many people love that band. And it's really cool. They did such an extensive doc, and I'm so thrilled to be a part of it.
Me too. Me too. So we had a band called Earthshaker. But even before Earthshaker, I had my first band when I was 12 years old. And my first gig in 1978 was at a Moose Lodge. And the guys that I played with, one of them was my cousin, Mike. And the other guy is John Barry, who I haven't seen in 40 years. I mean, right after that gig, him and his family moved, and I've never heard from him again until Halloween night just recently. He sent me some pictures. And that just really touched my heart, and it was great to hear from him. And I wrote about him in Southside, my new song. He's in the second verse, Johnny and me jamming in the garage. We played our gig at the local Moose Lodge. That's about Johnny, my drummer.
I got you. All right. Well, yeah, I mean, as far as the Y&T doc, it's great. And you saw them, obviously, being from the same area of the country, you saw them really early on.
Who, Y&T?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were huge fans of them. You know, that's why we named our band Earthshaker. When I met Brian Wheat, now see, fast forward from what I was just talking about in Southside, Brian Wheat also grew up in South Sacramento, and that's where we started playing together, and we called our band Earthshaker because of the band Y&T, yeah.
So Southside, going back to your current single, Southside, as a solo single, Southside, the whole story of the song is about the South Side of Sacramento, right? And growing up and your early memories coming up on the scene.
Yeah. Growing up in South Sacramento in the 70s, there was a lot of kids that actually... That's what we did. We played guitars besides getting stupid and doing stupid stuff that kids do and running the streets and throwing rocks and breaking windows and that kind of stuff. It was the music that kept me and my friends from really getting in trouble. Now, some of my friends got in more trouble and some of them I haven't ever seen again. But the ones that really I was close to, like Bobby Reed, I'm singing about him in the first verse. He passed away last year, and I wanted to put him in the song. And he's one of my friends that taught me how to play guitar, like when I was 11 years old. And I sing about him in the song as well. And I really wanted to rock, Eddie. I realized that my solo music outside of Tesla is, you know, always experimenting with different styles. But on this one, I was like, man, I want to get back to frickin' rocking, which is what I love to do the most anyway. So the song rocks, and I'm very happy with the way it came out. It's real, 100% real, and I love it.
And you also did a documentary. I noticed online, I saw this, you did a little like 5-minute documentary about the song and actually going to those places in the Sacramento area that you're talking about in the song and even seeing some of those people, right?
Yeah. And that just happened. We weren't even planning to do that. Me and my friend drove down last week. We brought the video camera just in case we might run into some old friends. I ran into Frankie C., who's in the third verse of the song. I sing about him. He and I used to jump the fence over at the high school and jump in the pool in the middle of the night with some girls and stuff in his Vega. Do you remember a car called a Vega?
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
Well, Frankie C. had a Vega, and it was hot. It was a hot rod, and we used to go cruising in that car and jump the fence. So I got a hold of Frankie C. that day. I said, hey, I'm thinking about coming down to South Sacramento, and I'd love to see you. So he invited me to come out to the Tahoe Talek bar, and I brought the video camera just in case. I said, you know what? What the heck? Let's drive through the old hood and shoot some footage of the old hood. And so me and my friend JT, we went down there. And I turned it into a little documentary, and it was a lot of fun, man. I saw some old friends that I hadn't seen, and like I said, it's been 40 years since I've seen some of these people, and it was great to see them again.
Isn't it like, I don't know how it is for you, but for me, when you do stuff like that and you go back and you see people you haven't seen in 35, 40 years, or you go to those places, it definitely does not feel like that much time has gone by, does it?
No. And what I've learned is the best of friends, the greatest friends that you have, when you see them again after not seeing them in a long time, it's like you just pick up right where you left off. And
totally.
You have joy and love for those people that love you. And, you know, I've had other experiences with people where they give me like guilt trips, like, well, how can you never call me, man? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I'm sorry, dude. I've been on the road for 30 years, you know. but the ones that you see that give you a big hug and are happy to see you, man, those are your true friends.
Yeah, and being that, you know, this being day before Thanksgiving, the holidays, a lot of people are home. You see people you haven't seen in a long time. I have friends like that, too, people I haven't seen that'll go 3, 4, 5 years I haven't seen. And I see them, and it's literally like yesterday. You're laughing at the same stupid shit. You know, you become kids again. It totally takes you back to your youth. It's really great in that way. That's one of the things I love about doing what you did, going back to the places where you grew up or running into old friends.
Yeah. Yep. You know, and I don't know if it's, you know, the part of life where we are now and the age that we're at now, but it does feel good to reconnect with your roots, man. And really go back, you know, every day I feel so grateful that Tesla has had such a long career and that I discovered music in that era and have had a great ride with music and have made even other friends that I would never have made, like making friends with you. You know, I would have never made friends if it wasn't for music with you. And so
right.
It's a blessing. Music has been such a gift and a blessing in my life. And I'm grateful for everything, you know, that it's brought to me.
Hey, so let me ask you, you hit me up, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and you sent me this demo and you said, I'm thinking about getting into doing a podcast. And I had said to you, honestly, I said, you know, I thought what you did in the demo was great. I was like, the biggest challenge you have with podcasts is that everybody in the world can and is doing one and trying to get some audience and people to listen to it. But obviously you have a leg up because you're Frank from Tesla and you have a following and a fan base. So you've decided to do this, right? Far Out with Frank Hannon, and you've officially launched a podcast.
Yes, sir. You know, I got the bug from, you know, doing radio interviews over the years and getting on the air. You know, whenever the managers would like ask the guys in Tesla, all right, who wants to go to a radio station today? I would always raise my hand because I really enjoy talking with people on the air and that experience, you know, like we're doing right now. And when you and I did that on the ship and we got to interview John Lodge and Al Stewart on the Moody Blues Cruise, you know, that just made me feel like, you know, maybe I can give this a shot and do it. The idea was presented to me to do it. And then the concept of calling it Far Out and interviewing musicians that do other things besides music, like Jesse James with his bourbon, you know, or I just interviewed Greg Golden on my episode 3. It just came out today. He was a bodybuilder and a baseball coach. And we also talk about Gibson guitars, too. So it's a lot of fun, man, as you know. I mean, it's fun to talk with people and share some different experiences, you know, in this form.
You like the tables turned a little bit where you're the one asking the questions and listening versus being asked the questions?
I actually do. I have to tell you, I was really nervous when I stepped onto Jesse James and Jackal's bus with my little iPod, little recorder. And doing it for the first time, it was very, I made a green mistake on that one. I didn't have the button pushed to record and I missed half of the interview. I felt like the kid in Almost Famous, you know, but it's definitely a different challenge to be the guy asking the questions, like in your shoes, Eddie. Hats off to you, bro. I mean, your career has been stellar it's a different mentality, but I like taking on challenges, man. I try different things, and it gets your blood pumping when you're in a different foreign place, you know?
Well, Jesse, a guy like Jesse James Dupri, I mean, that's a great guy to start out with because he's such a good personality, he's such a good talker, he's such a good guy that it's going to be easy to just get him going and talking. But it's funny, dude, it's so funny that you said what you just said about not having the recorder on. So I've never talked about this really that much, but when I started out as a kid, we're talking like 83 was when I started doing this. So yeah. The very, very first time I ever opened the microphone and turned a microphone on live on a radio station, I turned the microphone on the other side of the console, meaning the microphone that's on the other side of the board for a guest, not the mic I was speaking into. So I did this, I did my first break and my hands were literally trembling because I was so nervous. And the first time I'm ever talking live on the radio, and I did it and I turned the microphone off and I was like, wow, I actually did it. And I think I was okay for the very first time. And then the hotline starts lighting at the radio station and it's my program director. And he goes, what just happened? And I go, well, I thought it was okay for a first break. He goes, what are you talking about? He goes, there was nothing but 60 seconds of silence because I turned the wrong mic on the board. So that's how my career started, man. And then once I went on to do a print interview, to record an interview with Akira from Loudness, and this would have been like not around or like around the same time, and those were the days of, remember, micro cassette recorders?
Yeah.
And the same thing, the cassette didn't work, and I walked off the interview. It was one of my first interviews, like, remotely, and I come off the bus, and I'm like, wow, I just got, like, an hour with Akira Takasaki. This is awesome. I play the tape in the car, nothing. Silence. So you live and learn, man. You live and learn. Now in the digital age, it's a little easier, but still, everybody has those hiccups.
Yeah, man. And, you know, and especially when you're so green at anything, when you're green, your heart's racing, you're sweating, your palms are sweaty, you're nervous. You know, speaking of that, like I'm doing a charity event here in Fort Worth, Texas, on December 6th, I believe, next Friday. And this is a whole nother world. This is a different culture. This is the cutting horse world. This is like cowboys and people that are like, you know, competing with horses. And when you get on that horse, and I've been riding horses off and on my whole life, but you have to control your nerves and put yourself in this zone of being relaxed and walking into this situation. And I found that when I walked onto the bus with Jackal, I had to take a deep breath and go, okay, I'm going to do this. If I can ride a horse into a herd of cows, I can walk onto Jackal's bus and do an interview.
I'm just laughing because this is all in perspective, because people listening, like, here you are 30 plus years playing everything from arenas to stadiums to theaters to venues all over the world in Tesla, singing, playing guitar, but the nerves are walking onto a bus to talk to Jesse James Dupri about bourbon. Like, nobody would think that.
Yeah. You know, so it's getting easier and easier. And I've got 3 episodes now. The episode 3 just came out today. I've got my little studio set up in my house with the microphones and everything. And I'm kind of researching some portable recording devices. I'm going to bring a portable device on the Monsters of Rock cruise, which I'm really looking forward to hanging out with you and all our friends on the ship. We're going to have a beer party. The other thing I've been doing is a double IPA beer with my friends at Out of Bounds Brewing Company. It's a local craft beer company here in my hometown. And we've made a beer. Making beer is a really fun process, man. This is something I'm learning now how to do. And we just made up like 30 kegs of this double IPA brew, and we're going to can it up and bring it on the ship.
Nice. So kind of like, I know we did the Def Leppard beer. We did the Steve Harris beer. So this Monsters of Rock will be doing the Frank Cannon beer.
That's right. You know, and I was reluctant to talk about it because Larry is still working on the details with distribution. So hopefully it doesn't fall through and I'm not being too soon in talking about it. But heck, why not, man? He's committed to it. He told me definitely without a doubt, even if we've got to rent a U-Haul truck and bring it out there, that we're going to have it on the ship. So we're going to have a beer party, my friend.
All right. Well, that you don't have to twist my arm for that. That'll be fun. Hey, you know, speaking of bands that you're a fan of and artists you're a fan of, I don't know if you know this. So on my show, like a month ago, I was thinking of you and I sent you a text. I had Frank Marino on.
Yeah, man. And he's going on the road. I just heard I saw some tour dates, dude.
Well, here's what's funny about that, right? So Frank put out this DVD Blu-ray. And I had him on to talk about it, and we talked about how he doesn't tour much or whatever. And a friend of mine who books me and is a booking agent for rock acts ended up making a deal to book Frank. So he was listening to that, and he heard Frank. And then a couple weeks later, he sends me a note. He said, "Guess who we just signed to be booking?" He goes, "We're booking Frank Marino. We're sending him out on tour." He goes, "He was on your show. We heard him talking about it. We signed him up as an agency, and Frank's going to get out there and start playing again." And I know you were a huge fan, so I was thinking of that.
Man, that is freaking awesome, Eddie. You know, see, that's what's so cool when people like yourself who truly love music from the heart for real, you know, and then it turns into something like that, to helping a guy like Frank Marino, who is truly an iconic legend and a guy who hasn't toured in years, but has the integrity. And, you know, that is awesome that worked out that way. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about this, man. Let's talk about this DVD that Frank Marino just released. 6 hours. I mean, it's awesome, dude.
It's unbelievable. It really is. I've been watching some of it. I thought the Y&T doc was long. It's nothing compared to Frank's concert film.
Yeah. And, you know, Frank Marino does it his way, man. He doesn't let anybody tell him how. He's not a sellout. That's for dang sure, man. He does it his own way on his terms. And the fact that he's going on the road right now to support this DVD is freaking awesome, man. I love that guy. He's a rebel in a sense of the word, where he just does his music his way and always has from the very beginning. He told me some stories. I got a chance to go visit him at his house in Montreal when Tesla was on tour last year. And what a great guy, man.
Yeah.
And so I'm really happy that worked out, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, that's what it's about for me. I mean, that's why I started doing this so long ago. If you can get the word out for people and help them out and give them a little leg up, especially a guy like Frank, who people like yourself, Zach Wilde, so many others talk about what an influence and how brilliant he is, but he's not a household guy. And there's a lot of people that don't know him, even though he's been around 50 years. So to get him back out there again and get people a chance to see him live is really, really very cool. Now, speaking of the cruise, Monsters of Rock cruise, I know Tesla's headlining it again. Beyond the beer party, you guys going to do the same thing? Is it going to be electric set, acoustic set, or have you thought about that yet?
We haven't decided yet. Myself, personally, I just want to rock. You know, the acoustic stuff is fun and all when you strip it down, but I'm hoping that we do two just killer rock shows, maybe one at the start of the cruise and then one near the end of it. But I think those details are still being worked out, so I can't give an accurate answer on what we're going to do, if there's going to be one or acoustic or electric or both. But I'm hoping we just freaking rock and we do two separate sets of material in our catalog, but rocking. You know what I mean?
I'm with you on that. I love that idea completely. Now, did I hear, and I don't know if it's something that's out or not yet, but did I hear you guys have summer touring plans?
I've heard rumors, and so I don't want to say solid 100% because I'll probably get in trouble, especially if our manager is going to be listening to this thing today.
All right, well, I don't want to get in trouble, but...
But no, well, that's okay. You know, I've been in trouble so many times by opening my mouth.
Me too.
I've heard rumors...
We share that.
I've heard rumors that we're going to be doing some dates with Alice Cooper. And Lita Ford possibly. So that's really exciting. That's going to be rumored to be happening in June, but I don't know for sure. But we are definitely doing some dates in February before and after the cruise. We're going to do a makeup date in North Carolina, a date that we had to cancel last year when Jeff got sick. And we're doing some Florida dates, and then I'm not sure what's happening after that. Possibly the Alice Cooper thing. I'm not sure.
And let me ask you this. The last Tesla record, Shock, safe to say that some fans liked it and a lot of fans didn't, if we're being honest. It was a different record. You guys tried something different. It was a polarizing record. I think that's fair to say. Now that the record's been out a little bit and you guys have, you know, basically done the cycle for it, looking back on it for you, what are your thoughts about the whole experience of doing the Shock record?
Well, you know, it was definitely a learning experience on many levels. There's parts of that record that I love, and there's parts of that record, without being getting myself in trouble again, that I don't want to say hate, because that's a bad word. It's too strong. There's parts of it that I never got used to, but there's parts of it that I love, and honestly, I absolutely adore and love Phil Collin. So he is a great guy with a great energy, and he put so much work and energy into that record alongside with Brian Wheat. Those two guys worked their butts off on coordinating that record. And there's some songs on there that, like Forever Loving You, that are just classic killer Tesla songs. And there's a couple other songs on there that were experiments that maybe didn't go over too well, but you know what? It's just another chapter in the book of Tesla. And, you know, it was a great experience learning. I learned a lot from Phil Collin, and, you know, that's all I can really say about it, man. And that's it.
Would you like to make another Tesla record? I mean, I know that in interviews, Brian and others have said, well, if we didn't do a record like this with Phil doing something different, we may have not have ever even done another studio record. Would you like to come back and do another Tesla record, maybe more in line with what people expect Tesla to sound like?
Well, of course, absolutely. I mean, you see how creative I am on my own. I'm always right. Releasing new songs, new albums. I'm freaking going nuts here, man. I'm a creative junkie. Of course I would love to do that with Tesla. That would really rely on Jeff Keith and where he's at as far as wanting to write some songs. And my dream and hope would be that it would be totally that with Jeff Keith and really coming together and getting creative with him, you know, so we'll see how that goes, man. I love Jeff Keith, man. Right now he's recovering from shoulder surgery, which is why we're taking this time off. And I hear he's doing really well. I talked to Vera and she was saying, you know, he's doing his therapy and you know, when he gets back in action and we can get together and write some songs from the heart again, then I think that's what'll make another great Tesla record.
Yeah, I got to reach out to Jeff. I didn't know he went through that. I hope he's doing well. I didn't realize he had surgery.
But to answer your question, I would absolutely love to make another Tesla record, and as long as it's, like, totally freaking real. And, you know, I'm full of the juice, man. I'm ready to rock no matter what. So let's go.
And last thing before I let, well, one thing really cool on Tesla that you guys started doing, and you know how much I love the band, but people who saw the recent tours, you guys started digging into the catalog and playing some deep tracks that you didn't play in a while. And I love the fact that you did that. You really got into your catalog a little bit.
Thanks, bro. And see, there again, that's an example of when Jeff Keith and myself got together. Prior to the tour for the Shock album, I asked Jeff to come over to my house. I said, hey, bro, let's get together and dig deep in the catalog, you know, to balance out the set and to change the set from what we've been doing for the past 10 years of just the normal hits and to balance it out with something different than Shock, which would be like the deeper tracks like, you know, Miles Away or some of the stuff, Be a Man, we haven't done in forever. And so Jeff and I spent a month together, just me and him in the garage, preparing that tour. And we actually experimented with rewriting the songs in some different keys that made it sound better for his voice. And we pulled out, you know, songs like Be a Man, And let's see, what was another one? We did Lazy Days, Crazy Nights.
Yeah. Need Your Lovin'.
Need Your Lovin', we did. Miles Away. Songs that we haven't done in forever. And it was just a labor of love of he and I getting together in the garage for a month prior to the tour.
And last thing, man, I wanted to ask you, for most people know your father-in-law is Dickie Betts. How's he doing, man? How's his health? Is he okay?
Yeah, he has completely recovered from the fall that he took last year. We thought we were going to lose him. And that's the only Tesla show that I've never performed at. I walked off stage and my friend Howie Simon filled in for me down in L.A. And I flew out to Florida to be in the hospital with my wife and Dickie. And we didn't know if he was going to make it. And it's an awesome testimony of how tough he is and what a survivor he is. He's made a full recovery and he's doing fantastic, man. And beyond that, too, his son, Dwayne, is doing fantastic with the Almond Betts Band. They just sold out the Fillmore. They're selling out the Beacon Theater this month. Devin Almond and Dwayne Betts. And Dickie was at their show on New Year's Eve after recovering from his brain surgery. I mean, just truly inspiring, man, the tenacity and the strength of Dickie and Dwayne. And Devin had some health issues, and he's made a full recovery. I'm just very happy for those guys, man. They're kicking ass.
Oh, and one other thing I forgot. I wanted to ask you this at the top, just since we were talking. What do you make of Motley Crue coming back? How do you feel about it?
Well, you know, I don't blame them, man. I mean, come on. What are we going to do? That's what we want to do is play music. The whole notion of retiring and doing all that, that's not reality for guys like Nikki Sixx and Tommy Lee and Mick Mars, you know. We want to rock, man, and so I don't think they're going to make those statements of retiring again. You know what I mean? Come on, look at the Scorpions, man. They're still out rocking. It, you know, so I'm glad they're coming back out, man, and I'm glad they're going to do stadiums, and, you know, I think it's awesome.
So no plans on it. We won't be seeing any Tesla farewell tour anytime soon, right?
I don't think so, but if there is, there's never going to be a Frank Hannon farewell tour, I'll tell you that.
Sure, because you got all these other things. You got beer, you got a podcast, you got a solo career. You got too much to do still, man. You can't even think about that. You're a kid still, Frank. Come on.
I'm a kid at heart, man, and I'm a crazy creative dude. You know, it drives my wife nuts. God bless her, man. She's the biggest supporter of me and allowing me to go crazy like I do. And yeah, man. So
I tell myself I'm a kid until I put my foot on the floor and wake up every morning and start the day, and I feel every bone creak. I realize I'm not a kid physically, even though I am mentally.
Right. We still feel young, but man, you definitely start feeling the my ears have been ringing lately, man. I've been really screaming a lot. You know, you talked about Dickie Betts. I just want to say he really inspired me to sing, and I've always been going back to Southside.
Yeah.
The band that I had before Tesla, City Kid and all that, I was a young 12-year-old guy trying to sing, and singing is a passion of mine. And so That is something that I wanted to throw out there, that, you know, I can't do it very well, but I'm sure as hell trying to do it, and that's singing.
But you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because hearing the song and watching the video and everything, that was one thing that really jumped out to me. Everybody knows you're a great guitar player, but your singing, you've definitely worked on it. I think you've come a long way as far as a singer.
Hey, thanks, man. And it's all about the lyrics and being honest and telling a true story. And that's what this song, Southside, is for me. It's a true story of my life as a kid.
My thanks to Frank Hannon. Always fun to talk to Frank. He's got a lot going on, as you just heard. Appreciate very much him taking some time, and I'll be seeing him soon on board the Monsters of Rock cruise as Tesla headlines this year. Thank you guys so much for listening. Again, a very happy, healthy new year to all. Thanks to Katie Irizarry, who produces the podcast. And I'll see you next Thursday for the first Eddie Trunk podcast of the new decade and the new year 2020. And thank you so much, you guys. Remember, follow on social media at Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, EddieTrunk.com is the official online home. A very happy, healthy new year to all, and catch you guys next Thursday for a new episode.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.